Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Separating the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction.
Yep.
There's a bunch of fiction out there.
A whole bunch of fiction.
In just about every category of life right now.
Well, and if you were just telling me we don't have a caller.
No, we've got a couple of them now.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to comment on our weekend or last week's
demonstrations. Go ahead and comment. We can take a minute or two. And then we've got a question about antibody testing.
Okay.
And another question about the health analysis appointments.
Okay. Apparently. Well, I'm conversant on both of those subjects.
Well, I think you are.
But, you know, with this, the Floyd killing in Minneapolis, I don't know anybody that encouraged or was in favor or approved of that. And I think most people are perfectly fine with peaceful demonstrations. That is our constitutional right, is to peaceably assemble for redress of grievances.
Oh, yeah.
And I have seen no one object to peaceably assembling for redress of grievances. But that's not what we've gotten too often. We've gotten, you know, people burning down buildings and beating people up and then now in some cases killing people. You know, I have heard Floyd George name uttered a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen very many demonstrations in favor of Pat Underwood. You know, Pat Underwood was a black uniformed officer in Oakland who, along with his partner, was guarding the federal building a couple of blocks from the demonstration. And somebody drove away from the demonstration, passed the office, opened fire, and killed Pat Underwood on the street. And his partner, who they have not identified, is in the intensive care unit,
mm-hmm.
struggling to survive. And these black men are totally ignored. Now, I don't see any good actors in the Floyd George situation. That policeman had 10 previous complaints against him for inappropriate activities.
Yeah, I had heard 12, but even 10.
And so, you know, which is outrageous.
Yeah.
And yet he's still employed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Mr. George had also had 5 previous convictions for drug offenses and 1 for assaulting a pregnant woman, burglarizing her apartment and beating her up. So we've got a violent career criminal and a long-term out of control cop who has, you know, a long history of his own misbehavior. Neither one of those characters are sterling characters. Neither one of them are actually, you know, worthy of our support and emulation. There's not much you can do about career criminals except, you know, if he's been convicted 5 times of drug offenses, he shouldn't have been on the street in the first place to be passing counterfeit money. But that cop should not have been a cop either.
Boy, no kidding.
We had plenty of evidence that he was a bad cop. Our problem here, and I know I will upset some of our more left-leaning people, but that's a union problem. The police union protects bad cops. You know, it is almost impossible to really discipline a bad police officer.
That's true.
Because the unions protect them. It is almost impossible to discipline a bad teacher because the teachers' union protect them. It is almost impossible to fire a bad civil service worker because the civil service rules and unions protect them. Public unions provide a disservice to the public. So public worker unions should, I don't think we should have them. And if you're a bad cop, the supervisors of the police department should be able to fire you and get rid of you. And if you're a bad teacher, they should be able to get rid of you. And if you're a unproductive civil service worker, they should be able to get rid of you. And so, you know, I understand that unions are sacred cows to a large segment of our population, and yet they are the cause for these bad actors staying in service and continuing to do bad actions.
Yeah.
I see people demanding justice for George Floyd, but wait a second. What do you mean by justice? He got fired. He got arrested. He's charged with murder. He will be tried by a jury of his peers. And given the evidence seen on that tape, will almost certainly be convicted and go to prison. Where, guess what? Police officers in prison don't do well.
That's right.
A lot of people are going to do bad things to him in prison. So what do they mean by justice? Are we advocating lynchings? Are we advocating that if a police officer misbehaves, he should be dragged out and hung from the nearest lamppost? I mean, what exactly do you mean by justice for George? It makes no sense.
Well,
it appears that justice is in the works. And the man who was killed was not a good man, and the man who killed him was not a good man. We have two bad actors here. Both of which deserve public disdain. Career criminals are not people we should be putting them up on a pedestal and saying, oh, we all have to, to bow down, to this man. No, he deserved to be in prison. He didn't deserve to get killed in the street, but he did deserve to be in prison. And that cop should not have been on the beat. So I don't see any good people here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it clearly is not a race issue. This is being taken advantage of by the delusional left, in my opinion, who
have a sudden real need for Gucci shoes, LV bags, and Tiffany jewelry.
Yeah, well, I was talking about the leadership of our country that is allowing, they arrest a woman in the South for cutting another woman's hair, and then they let people throw bricks through
windows,
and hurt people and destroy property, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property. And that's okay. Appeasement, silence, it's just there is no justice. And the delusional left are to blame.
I think I was relatively measured compared to you, Pete.
I don't think so at all. I just was doing a P.S. A P.S. Anyway, we did get sidetracked, but let's take some calls again. We do have two lines open right now. So if you've got a question for Dr. Mitchin, call at 800-465-8770. Let's go to Kent and talk with Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
Hello, sir. How can we help?
Very well said. What you said was very well done, and I appreciate that comment of yours.
Well, thank you.
On another note, regarding antibody testing, I've checked with my medical doctor and several times now, and he doesn't feel there is an accurate method of testing accurately. He studies what comes out in his journals and so forth, and he doesn't feel there's something valid enough to be tested accurately. Is that true or not in your estimation?
I have identified three companies that do very, very good testing. But unfortunately, there's more than 140 of them out there selling antibody tests. So
yes,
it is a tiny minority. The tests that are coming out of China, and that's unfortunately where the majority of those tests are being manufactured, have up to a 30% false positive rate. So you don't know if you get a test, if it's positive or negative, if it really means anything. There are three companies that have brought one out, and the one that I think is the most accurate is actually done by Roche. The Roche test has 100% sensitivity. It does not miss any positives, and it has a 99.6% specificity, which means 4 out of a 1,000 will be told that they are positive or negative, and it'll be wrong, or they'll be told that it's positive, but it'll be wrong. So 4 people out of 1,000 is a pretty good failure rate. And if you're positive, it will pick it up 100% of the time. Now that's the good news. So Roche is the one that I recommend. It is unfortunately still hard to get, although it will be getting better and better. Roche is making hundreds of thousands of tests available per week. And they're going to be up to millions in a month here very quickly. The problem we've got is that right now it's almost impossible for a private doctor to get the Roche test done. The government is buying them up. In fact, governments all over the world. Roche is a Swiss company. And so all over Europe and the U.S., all over the planet, you know, governments are vying. So they get first dibs. Second people that can buy them are the big hospital systems. And then third come the private physicians who own Roche equipment. Now, I, in my lab, use Roche's equipment. That's, I like that. And they have told me that I can probably get this test done in my lab. I'll get the kits available in late June or early July. So sometime within about the next month, I should have the capability to run that very, very accurate test in my clinical laboratory. So that's my good news. Here's the bad news. I don't have the staff to draw blood for the state of Washington. I can only, I have the staff to draw the blood on my patients whenever they come up for their every 3 month testing. So I am going to be including the antibody test as a freebie with no charge on each and every one of my patients who get their standard blood test every 3 months. So every 3 months, we're going to be checking all of our patients to find out who has positive antibodies and who doesn't.
But we can't quite start that process.
I just said we will not have the test available until late June or early July.
I just want to make sure they knew that, because every time you bring this up, we get flooded.
I know. And people call and say, well, he promised he would do them right now and they're free. And we say,
I got two calls. I had a friend call Matter and Hornet.
I know. And no. Yeah. And we can't do it for all of our patients just because they want one. We will include it in your routine testing when you're due for your routine test. But I just don't have the staff to have 1,500 patients all come in this week and get their blood draw. I can't do it.
Understood.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
two other companies too.
Yes. Yes, there's one. Pfizer has a test that has been approved by the FDA and is almost as good. Its sensitivity is equally good. Its specificity is 99.4 as opposed to 99.6. So it's, you know, you'll miss 2 more per 1,000 than Roche, which is pretty darn good. And I'm blocking on what the third company is right now. But during the next commercial, I will do a quick search and see if I can find it.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. Hey, on one other matter, another issue, simple, regarding stomach acid.
Yes.
We made mention last week about acid reflux. And as we grow older, it's been well documented that our stomach acid does drop.
Yes.
Some levels that could interfere with with digestion. Is there a valid test that you could do to check that out?
Yes, there is. It's not a very pleasant test. It's basically they put a little pH meter attached to a string and you swallow it. It goes down into your stomach and actually reads the pH. Then they pull the string and bring it back up. So having that coming back up your esophagus, a lot of people gag pretty hard at that. But yes, we can actually, can measure the pH in your stomach acid. Generally, the older you get, the less hydrochloric acid you have in your stomach.
Correct. Right. So you do offer that test?
We don't. No, gastroenterologists do.
Okay, gastroenterologists. Okay.
Yeah, gastroenterologists can do your gastric pH study for you.
Okay. Okay, well, very good. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Which brings up one other thing. I often talk about things that I know about, but I don't actually do because, we are a specialty clinic. We treat the normal but undesired changes of aging. There's a whole lot of medicine that I know about that I read, much of which I used to do back in my family doctor days, but don't do it anymore. So just because I can tell you about it doesn't mean I can do it for you.
All right. Yeah, there you go, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for the call. Good comments. And that opens a line. We got three lines open. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ann in Arlington. She has a question about the free health analysis appointments. I'm curious about that. But if you have a question for Dr. Mixon, hey, it's a great time to call us at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. All righty, welcome back. Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. For 21 years, Longevity Medical Clinic has been making this program available. 21 years. Jerry, you don't look a day older.
Than 21? I got to get your vision checked.
Anyway, we're having fun for 21 years. I'm looking forward to the next 21 years. There's nobody getting me out of this chair, I'll tell you that. All right, let us take another call. Let's go to Arlington and talk with Ann. Hello, Ann. Welcome.
Hello, Ann.
Thank you.
Go ahead. How can we help?
I called about one thing, but I have a minor digression.
All right.
You commented about government union people. I've worked for government for 18 years. And I am not pro-union. I am not anti-union. My view is show me how you behave, and I'll make up my mind.
Absolutely. Let me make one correction what you said. I did not talk about union people. I talked about the union. That's a different issue.
Well, true enough. Absolutely. And anyway, I worked there, and year by year and issue by issue, they won my respect. And I saw union members drop kicked off the back porch for cause. So they did not go to bat for people in their wrongdoing. I never saw that. And they actually, inch by inch and issue by issue, really impressed me. So I would say judge them individually. I will say a lot of the law enforcement guilds have been very guilty of supporting police misconduct that should have been drop-kicked off the back porch. So anyway, that's my two cents worth.
And let me give you the example that comes to mind. Yeah, let me give you the example that comes to mind when I think about this, though. And that is New York City has hundreds of teachers that are terrible teachers, have been accused and, in fact, convicted of misconduct with students, etc. Hundreds of them that are being paid full salary to not teach because the union won't let them get fired.
It's an abomination and a despicable use of public money.
It
never speak in. But what I would hate to see is public unions banned. That is wrong because they're not all one homologous lump, and some of them actually are quite wonderful. So anyway, judge each on its own merit, but I couldn't agree with you more about how wrong it is for a union to support members in their misconduct. Anyway.
Okay. We're in agreement. Go ahead.
To my issue on the health appointment, I set up an appointment for one. And I looked at the paperwork, and it was very much in bold and emphatic that we must have photo ID and verification of address. And this isn't a criticism, it's a curiosity. And I thought, well, let me give you a little background, too. I was in IT for government, so I'm background checked, fingerprinted, given security clearance, and certified to get into criminal justice information systems. So I'm kind of a bona fide upstanding citizen, and it would never occur to me to falsify my identity. But that really made me curious that it was so emphatic. I thought, well, normally for medical services, that's to prevent insurance fraud, but in your case, that's not relevant. And then I thought,
you want to know why?
And says he told me, oh, so what? Who cares?
Well, the reason is that that under federal law, I have to protect your health care information. And I don't want anyone to ever be able to come in and pretend to be you and get access to your information. We are one of the few clinics in the country that still actually believe that doctor-patient information is confidential. We don't tell your insurance company.
Right.
We don't tell your spouse. We don't tell your kids. We tell no one. But that means we have to know who is really there. And that's why the photo ID.
Yeah, that's actually legitimate business reasons. So I'm thinking under HIPAA, who cares if it's John's or Thomas's stuff? You're not going to divulge it anyway. But I see what you mean about someone accessing his or her own records. So that is a legitimate business reason. Your person contacted me back after I booked online, and I asked her the question, and she had no idea but to reiterate we require ID, and I'm like, that's not the question. I already knew that, but please tell me the reason.
Right.
And she even went and told somebody, and nobody knew the reason, so you might let them know as well.
I will send an email out to all the staff reiterating why we do this. Okay.
Very well. Well, it's a cogent answer, and I much appreciate it, and it's a delight to talk to you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ann.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. We want to know who the patient is. That's pretty basic.
Yeah, because, we depend on the patient being willing to tell the doctor things they won't tell their minister.
That's true.
Okay. Medicine is, at least my version of medicine, is kind of an odd hybrid between a business and a priestly calling. And in order to provide really good medical care, we have to know things about you that you would not tell your spouse or your minister. And we need you to be honest. But that means I have to protect that information. Nobody gets access to your records unless you give me written permission to share it with them.
That's right.
And, we don't tell insurance companies. We don't tell the government. We don't tell anybody, not your wife, not your husband, not your kids. Your information is private between you and your doctor.
And on the other side of the coin, I have given permission in writing for my wife, my two boys, my daughter-in-laws, to have information on me, just as a backup safety valve.
But, it's I sometimes chuckle when I see the things that people will not share with their spouse.
I've gotten a kick out of that, too. What?
Well, many women, for some odd reason, they will share everything with their spouse except their weight. They don't want their spouse to see their weight. Now, and all I can do is say, do you think he's blind? He may not know the number on the scale, but he sees you every day. He's got a pretty good idea what your weight is. But no, I I see a fair number of women who that is their one exclusion. Yes, my husband can come to my visits with me, but he's not allowed to know what I weigh. Okay.
That's okay. That to each their own.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, let's sneak in another call here. Let's go to Puyallup. Talk with Bren. Bren, welcome to the show.
Hello, Bren.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help?
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah,
we are there. Right. Yes, hello? You're on the air. Go ahead.
Ready to talk. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. If anybody knew the answer to this question, I thought that you would.
Right.
My daughter just started. She's 18 years old, and she just started taking injectable testosterone, 200 milligrams. And I just wanted to know about the side effects for a female taking that.
18.
Is she a bodybuilder? That's a big dose. That's a dose we would normally use for a 200-plus pound man.
Wow.
So, you know, if she she's injecting...
Planned Parenthood. Yeah, she went to Planned Parenthood and got it on her first visit. They don't really... They don't know anything about her. You know what I mean? She's... they don't know any of her medical history. She got it on the first visit. And
testosterone?
To turn into... Yeah, turn into a man. Yeah, they're doing that now. They give out sex hormones at Planned Parenthood. So I just I don't think they told her that she's on it for the rest of her life to do this and what's all it's going to do to her.
Well, I hope they gave her truly informed consent, because giving a woman 200 milligrams of testosterone decanate every 2 weeks or so. Because that's a standard that you do for a man. It's going to have long-lasting, irreversible effects. She can't really change her mind after a while. So, but the literature is a little bit spooky.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah,
that's... cancer and heart disease and other organ problems.
Yeah, like kidney, I'm not seeing data on cancer, but usually the women that are wanting to take this high dose of testosterone are doing it because they're trying to become a man, and they can't really become a man. You don't change your two X chromosomes to an X and a Y. You can imitate a man to some degree. We can give her lots of facial hair. We can shrink her breasts to some degree. We can enlarge her clitoris and dry up her vagina. But her bone structure, her heart, her lungs, her eyes, her brain structure, these are all female and they're not going to change.
Okay.
And the suicide rate in women and in men that try to change their gender is scary high. It's 16 times higher than the general population.
I read a report just this last week. It's 19 times. So it's bad.
The female brains are not designed to cope with very, very high doses of testosterone. Male brains are not designed to cope with high, high doses of estrogens. And, The long-term adverse effects are enormous. So hopefully they gave her lots and lots of peer-reviewed literature to read so she knows what she's getting into. And then, of course, it's her body and her life, and I believe she should be free to do what she wants with it. I just want her to be well-educated about what she's deciding to do.
Me too. That's why I wanted to call you, because it's hard to find the true facts sometimes when you do searches on the internet. The harmful side of it for a female.
I don't find it hard to get that information if you dig enough. But
again,
I'll keep digging.
Yeah. Well, go to PubMed.gov and put in. Gender transition or testosterone and women, etc., you can find lots and lots and lots of peer-reviewed articles.
Thank you so much. It was awesome.
You are welcome, Brent. We're glad you called. And that opens a line. Call if you'd like to be on the air and ask a question of Dr. Jerry Mixon. He's here waiting for your call. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. When we come back, we have Jan from Graham, who has a question about Cialis, and then Jeanette from Renton has a question about sugars in general.
Okay.
I probably should listen to the answers there on the one about sugars. Don't go far. All right, we've got about 24 minutes left here on Leading Edge Medicine to finish up our second hour. I want to remind everybody, we actually do 4 hours of live radio every Saturday morning. We start at 8 o'clock right here on 770 KTTH and go until 10 o'clock. And then from 10 until noon, we are on another station in town here. And if you would like to know where we are for all 4 hours, including from 10 to noon, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com. Top of the page, there's a little button that said podcast. Push on that, and you will see where we are for all 4 hours. 2 hours here, 2 hours on another station from 10 to 12. Hope you can join us for any one or all of those 4 hours. Again, at lmclinic.com, push that podcast button. All right. Let us go to Graham, Washington, and talk with Jan. Jan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jan.
Hi.
How can we be of help? Yes, you're on the air, dear.
Well, okay, great. My husband has tried the Cialis and the Viagra, and it gives him extreme back pain. He takes testosterone, I think, once a week.
Uh-huh.
And the back pain lasts for like a month or two sometimes, so he can't take any of it. And I was just wondering, is there an alternative, or is there a reason it's hurting him? Just kind of confused about it.
Okay. Well, actually, back pain is a recognized adverse effect. It's on the list of of side effects of all of the PDE5 inhibitors. So the one that has the least side effect is Levitra. Viagra has the most adverse effects. Tadalafil is in the middle.
Cialis.
That's the Cialis. And the Levitra is the most specific for the PDE5s and doesn't hit as many of the other receptors. So he might try the Levitra. If that one does it too, then about all he can do is go for even lower doses. It tends to be a dose-specific issue. The higher the dose, the more intense the adverse effects. There are 11 different PDE receptors in the human body. Okay, numbers 1 through 11. PDE5 is the one that is found most commonly or in the highest concentration in the urogenital tract. So that's the one we're trying to inhibit. 11 is present in the brain and the muscles. And so men who get headaches and backaches are usually stimulating 11 as opposed to 5. So all you can really try to do is get the ones that are most specific and hit the least amount of the other inhibitor or the other receptors. So I'd say try Levitra and try it at a low dose and see if it helps. If not, he may just have to stay away from the PDEs.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
ma'am. You betcha. Let's go to Renton and talk with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette. Welcome.
Thank you.
How can we help, ma'am?
I'm concerned, maybe it's a little off track for you and you probably suggest a nutritionist, but I'm confused about sugars. There is so many sugars, real sugar, I don't know, and substitute sugars. And like I was going to bake, well, since we've been home more, my daughter and I were talking about baking. I baked a few things, and of course I used the old CNH sugar. But she's saying, oh, use monk sugar. And then somebody else was talking to me, no, use coconut sugar. And it's basically, there's no really good sugar out there. It just tastes good, right?
Well, yes, sort of. Okay, let's talk sugars just a little bit, as opposed to artificial sweeteners that are not sugars at all.
Okay.
The really important sugar is what you refer to sometimes as your blood sugar. It's called glucose. Okay. Glucose is the fuel that your body burns to stay alive. So essentially everything you eat, you are trying to break down into glucose. And some things you create a lot of glucose out of, and some things you don't create as much. But basically, glucose is where your food is going. That is the sugar your body burns to keep you living. Table sugar, sucrose, which is what your CNH is a mixture of glucose and fructose. So there's only one chemical bond that needs to be broken to free up some glucose. So that is released very quickly. A lot of different fruit sugars, the coconut sugars and so on, those are mostly fructose. Okay. Fructose is also converted to glucose by your body, but it has to do it by a couple of different steps. So it's not quite as efficient. But even if you're eating grains, even if you're eating flour, if you're eating oats, if you're eating barley, you're going to convert it to glucose. Okay? That's the end product. Everything goes to glucose. Some things go very quickly. Some things go slowly. You don't want things that go too fast simply because if your glucose rises too quickly, your body can't burn it. Okay? And if you dump a lot of glucose, a lot of fuel into your system, and your body can't convert it to energy quickly, what do you think it does with the excess?
Stores it as fat.
You got it. Stores it as fat so it can burn it later. The problem is that in our society, we have an unending supply of high energy foods available.
So three Hostess Twinkies for a mid-morning snack.
It's probably not a good idea. That's right. No.
I haven't had a Hostess
in years.
I think it's been 20 years, but I still have pleasant memories.
You know, you just tweaked a memory for me. My wife, as you may well know, is from mainland China, and she had never had a Twinkie in her life. She'd never heard of a Twinkie.
Yeah.
And we'd been married a couple of years, and I mentioned Twinkies, and she had no idea what it was. So I took her to the store and fed her a Twinkie.
What's interesting in China, what I find so interesting, they have, I think, tenfold the number of
sweet snacks.
Snacks, candies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Breaded, sweet type things. 10 times, it seems like, yes, the variety that we have here.
Yeah, they do.
But no Twinkies.
But no Twinkies. But no.
Also, I've been told, you know, sugar causes inflammation. I have arthritis, and I try to make sure that I limit any over amounts of sugar.
Yes.
So that was another concern of mine.
Okay.
You know, and well, baking, you bake cookies, you bake cakes and stuff like that.
Sure.
So the problem is, don't eat too much.
Yeah, don't eat too much. But your problem is not necessarily the sugar. Remember, all of that flour, all of everything that you're putting in there, you're going to convert it to sugar, to glucose. Okay? That's what you burn. So what you're looking for is your overall calorie count. Calorie is a unit of heat energy, right? It's telling you how much heat energy is available. That's why your body temperature is above room temperature. Okay. You eat your food, you convert it to glucose, your body then burns the glucose, you convert it to energy, and that provides the heat to raise your body temperature. It's why your muscles are working and so on. So calorie will tell you how much heat energy that food is eating. The average person, kind of a midlife average person, you're gonna burn 1,500 to 2,000 calories of energy per day, unless you are very physically active, or unless you have a lot of muscle mass. Muscle burns energy just by existing. It's a very energy intensive tissue. Fat is not energy intensive, so it just kind of sits there and very indolently burns calories. So the more muscle you've got, the more muscle that's being burned, the more you can eat without getting fat. Okay. Bodybuilders, these guys with all, you know, their muscles on their muscles that ripple when they walk, these guys often have to burn 10 to 12,000 calories a day just to keep from losing weight.
Really?
Because all of that massive amount of muscle is burning calories at a furious rate. It's like a furnace. Okay. A person that has a high percentage of body fat, on the other hand, is not burning much energy. They need to eat very small calorie intake. Mm. And the more physically active you are, that allows you to burn more. So, you know, if I go have a robust breakfast, I take about a 3.5 mile run. I burn about 600 calories in that run. Okay. Now I could eat an extra 600 calories without getting fat. Okay. On the other hand, if I don't increase my eating and I burn that 600 calories, that will help me to lose a little more than a pound a week of fat. Okay. 3,600 calories and a pound of fat. If you burn 500 calories a day more than you eat, you will lose 1 pound a week.
Hey, Jeanette, this has been a fun call. Thank you for...
You're welcome. You. Take care.
Thank you very Bye-bye. Much. And we didn't even talk about artificial sweeteners. That's a biggie. Don't think we have time to talk about it today, but maybe next week. We should take a segment and let you do some teaching about artificial sweeteners. When we come back, we're going to go to Bremerton with a question about CBD oil and high blood pressure. And then Joan from Seattle has a question about digestive enzymes. This could be interesting. All right, hey, we've got about 10 minutes here. Let's jump into this. Let's go to Bremerton. Talk with Cindy. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Dr. Mixon, what have you found in your research about CBD and high blood pressure?
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hang on one second. I've got I'm trying to type here while I'm talking. All right, sorry. I get emails from my spouse. We are going to go look at a kitten this afternoon.
A kitten?
A kitten for my daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm trying to answer her and the people on the radio at the same time. Sorry about that. Happy wife, happy life. That is the rule of life, you know.
It is.
So, okay.
CBD oil.
CBD oils.
And blood pressure, high blood pressure.
Yeah. Yep. There's an awful lot of hype about CBD oils, and not nearly as much in the way of human studies as I would like to be comfortable with these. If you look at if you go on the internet and you put in CBD oil and blood pressure or pain or depression or anxiety or anything on earth, you will see people selling CBD oils that swear that it is the cure and the be and end all for virtually every human problem. The trouble is that when you go in PubMed and you look for the support for that, almost all of the supporting, quote, studies are in rodents, mice, and rats, not in human beings.
Hmm.
Now, it may be true, you know, and some of this is anecdotal. I mean, if you go back thousands of years, you know, marijuana has been consumed as a pain relief. You get high enough, you don't pay attention to the pain. Okay. How much of it was was real relief or not. But they're taking they're taking the anecdotal studies, the anecdotal reports on use of marijuana, which is a soporific as well as a euphoric sort of drug, and they're transposing it to a different cannabinoid that does not have the euphoric effect of the marijuana. And they're saying if one helped, the other one must. And I'm just not sure that that's true. So I would feel a lot better. And at this point, I'm not saying that the CBD oils don't work, because I haven't found human studies that say they don't. I just have not found the human studies that say they do. And so I'm kind of suspending belief in either direction. You know, I've had people that wanted us to carry and sell CBD oils. I am not doing it. We have lots of different supplements out there, but I'm not carrying this because I don't have peer-reviewed human studies that say that they have the benefits without the adverse effects. So until I have objective science to support it, I'm sure as heck not going to sell it. And at this point, I just don't believe there's enough good literature to support the claims that are being made. Does that answer your question?
Okay. It does answer my question. I trust what you say. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, you know, I still have big question marks is what it comes down to. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just don't know. I haven't got the evidence either way yet.
I found it interesting that in a lot of the advertising, they don't make a whole lot of specific claims. The only one that they're now starting to actually say is you'll sleep better. But they don't actually say it'll help this, it'll help that, it'll do this.
Well, that's because if they said it in the formal ads, then they have to be able to prove it.
Right.
And they can't prove it. Okay. It's all anecdotal suggestions. It might do this, it might do that, it could do this, it could do that. And that's true. It might and it could. I just don't know that it does.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you. Thank you, Cindy, for the call. Appreciate it. Let us go to Seattle and talk with Joan. Joan, we're glad you called.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
I have
a comment on sugars, and Pete's right. Do a show on it.
All right.
I do stevia, sweet leaf.
Yes.
In my coffee every morning, and you can bake with that stuff.
Yes, you can.
It probably doesn't do heat energy like sugars do, because I don't feel any of that. But I'm very satisfied with it. I just thought I'd mention that. Okay, right. And then the other thing, my main thing, is digestive enzymes.
All right.
Okay, little bit of history. First of all, I'm a new patient with you. I have listened to you for years. I've been to maybe two or three seminars. And a couple of months ago, I joined. I have a naturopath I've been with for 15 years. I like her a lot, but she does not address androgen hormones like you do.
Uh-huh.
So that's primarily why I'm with you. Plus, visceral fat, right? Got to get rid of that. I got that going on. But I've been on digestive enzymes for quite some time. Back in the day when you're young, dumb, and stupid, right?
it's almost a redundancy, you know. Young
What's
and
that?
Dumb is the same. Young and dumb is pretty much the same thing. So, yes.
Okay. Well, I did Prilosec for a while. The stomach acid thing, right? And then I started looking at my diet and went, oh, well, you know, could be this, could be that. Had a few tests with medical doctors around, wasn't impressed. And then somebody said, go to a naturopath. So that's when I hooked into this woman 15 years ago. And she does digestive enzymes. Also, you can get them at supplement places. LEF has it, et cetera, et cetera. I've never really heard you address digestive enzymes. A lot of people have phoned in about stomach acid and the acid reflux thing and all that. What are the cons? I haven't found any. The pros are really good because, boy, you can eat yep. with it, you know, and it's just two or three. I have a couple bottles of them I take, you know, a uh-huh. couple times a day before meals. Works great.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
All right. Let me address both of these for just a little bit. First, stevia.
Okay.
If you're going to use an artificial sweetener, stevia is my favorite.
All right. Yay.
It is, you know, basically the stevia leaf has an incredibly intense sweet taste. It is mm-hmm. far sweeter to your taste buds than sugar. I mean, it's
yep.
like 8 or 10 fold sweeter. It doesn't take much stevia to give you
a
sweet
little
bit. Taste. So if you're going to throw it in your coffee, you want to use some of it to get a little sweet taste, fine. Recognize, however, that anything that tastes sweet impacts your metabolism. We have sweet receptors throughout our body. You know, we used to think that sweet was something that was just in your taste buds. It's not. We actually have sweet receptors scattered throughout our body. And any time we taste something sweet, our whole chemistry changes and we actually shift our metabolism towards fat production. And it's not the calorie count. It is actually alterations under brain chemistry that changes the way our bodies respond, because your body doesn't recognize that this sweet coming in isn't a high calorie energy source. Because it doesn't know anything about the chemistry. It just knows that the natural things you would taste that would be sweet would be things like honey or sugar cane or other things that are actually high calorie. So your body is expecting high calorie load and it changes the metabolism accordingly. So you are actually shifting your metabolism towards fat with anything that tastes sweet. That's one of the bad things. The good thing is there's not really many calories, so it's all a matter of how much you eat.
And I dare say this might be a good time for me to say, let's start off the next hour in our next two-hour show.
Oh, we're finishing this.
That's why I was holding up my one finger.
I see. Okay.
We're out of time. But Joan, I think this is a fascinating topic. I didn't think we were going to get into it, but we snuck it in here.
Go to our website.
Go to lmclinic.com. This is everybody now listening. If you want more information about sugars, sweetness, the problems with artificial sweetness.
Well, but also, we're going to talk about digestive enzymes.
Yes.
That's what she called it.
And we'll start that off the show. We'll do a little bit about the virus for 2 or 3 minutes. But for the next hour, find us by going to our website, lmclinic.com. Push on the podcast button on the top of the page, and you'll see where we are for the next 2 hours, 10 to noon, and lmclinic.com podcast. But that's also where you make your free health analysis appointment. You ought to do that. We've got about 15 or 16 in each of our three clinics between July 1 and July 10. lmclinic.com. Take advantage of it.